In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You do not know the day or the hour, so keep watch. He's coming soon. With each day, each moment that passes by, your bridegroom triumphantly strides ever closer. So keep watch. Keep watch so that you may meet him with joy and gladness when he comes. Keep watch lest that door be slammed in your face. Many are waiting, but not all will enter. Many call him Lord, Lord, but not all speak by the Spirit. Many have knowledge of his word, and yet not all have faith. Keep watch. He is not slow in coming, but he is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. And so he did not come yesterday. More needed to come to him in faith. So keep watch. Pray. No fool will stand in those courts of God, but only the wise, only those who were prepared, only those with flame burning brightly. You began watching for this bridegroom at the font. In that watery bath, he baptized you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so faith was kindled in your heart. Fanned into flame by this same Spirit, you waited for the consummation in heaven, even if you were only a few days old. And yet as the years continue to pass by, you often grow weary of sitting outside in darkness, waiting, watching, wondering if he will return and when. For even the youngest of us think that we will see him first and foremost after we die. So who is wise enough? We know he is coming, we know it is soon, but do we believe that he is coming soon? There's a difference between knowledge and faith. It's why many who call themselves Christians see no need to come and receive the gifts of God here at his service. Perhaps their faith begins to dwindle. Like Moses, we know that God is coming to set us free. But also like Moses, we grow very impatient with God's timetable, and we take the future into our own hands. Moses killed an Egyptian trying to set his people free. We seek to free ourselves from our burdens, our crosses, instead of picking them up and patiently following in Christ's procession. We have plans. Oh, how we have plans, and we know how to get what we want. We want glory now. We want peace and prosperity now. We want freedom now. We don't want to have to wait until we get to heaven. And so our thoughts drift from heavenly things toward these earthly things. And then, worry nudges out faith. Greed elbows contentment. Like Moses, we strike the rock instead of speaking to it. We bend God's word to suit our desires, and we don't think it's that big of a deal. For God has bigger things to worry about than these gray things we have created. And faith begins to flicker. Who of us is wise enough? Who is strong enough? The devil is out there in this blackened night. If we have light, if we don't have the light, we will be his prey. So watch and pray. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He desires to sift us like wheat. We've gone through dark days. We've had hard days in our life already. God has never left us, never forsaken us, never turned his back on us, but we have left him, we have forsaken him. We have wondered, where is he when mom or dad gets sick at a young age? Where is he when I have to stand at the grave of my own dear child? Where is he when bombs kill innocent civilians, women are raped, and babies aborted? Where is he when my own life feels like it is in shambles? Can't possibly be put back together. We feel like we are standing in the midst of a darkened tunnel and we see no light at the end. And so, like St. Peter, we easily fall asleep. Our strength dwindles and we give in to our body's desires. Watch and pray, Jesus urges, but it's been a long day and we just want to curl up in our warm bed and not pray. The spirit is willing, the body is weak. Like St. Peter, we are in the world but not of the world. We are gathered around the campfire of this world and we stand out. Like St. Peter, our confession too has failed. We have talked like the world, acted like the world, done things to gain the world's approval. And in the process, we have denied our Lord, who stood on trial for us. And the rooster crows. Who of us is strong enough? Who is smart enough? We've been confirmed. We know what's right from wrong, good from bad, the truth from lies. And yet our knowledge cannot always help us. Our knowledge has not kept us pure. We know we are waiting, and yet still we have soiled our garments, lusting after earthly pleasures. We have defiled ourselves again and again. We know we want to do good, but we have not always carried it out. We are stained with sin, smeared with imperfections, shrinking back into the darkness, hoping that no one will notice. King David was a man after God's own heart. There was no one like him. And yet it's very hard to wait. He grew bored with waiting, and so we ascend to his rooftop with him to look at the pleasures of this world. We let our eyes wander. Have we burned our oil only for Christ, or have we burned it to look around at this world and to find some earthly pleasure? Hindsight is 20/20, they say. If I knew then what I know now, well, honestly, we still may have gotten it wrong. Because the problem is not with our knowledge always, it's with our flesh. We are impure, and this is seen in our mistakes, it is seen chiefly in our sins. And yet, regardless, our anger still flares up at those who make mistakes, especially when it affects us. And we call down God's righteous condemnation upon them, only to have God's prophet standing in front of us, pointing the finger, "You are the man." Who of us is smart enough? Repent. Wake up from your slumber, trim your lamps, hear the distant triumph song. The bridegroom is near. The trumpets fill the air. Watch and pray. Step out of your self-centered universe and wait at heaven's gates with flame in hand. Have eyes only for him, for he has turned his gentle gaze on you. Desire only him, for he desires to come and sweep you off your feet and carry you into the marriage feast of the Lamb that shall have no end. He is your God. He is your Savior, your bridegroom. He is your Jesus. He was shrouded in darkness on Calvary's night, on Calvary. The light of the world extinguished by death. His life snuffed out so that you might never have to be extinguished by eternal death. And now he lives. He lives to be the light in the midst of this darkened world. He lives to guide your feet on the way of righteousness and truth, to light your path. And in his light, you see the dangers of the devil that are out there. But do not fear, for your bridegroom fights for you. In Christ's light, you wait patiently on God's timetable, for it is always perfect, right, and good. In Christ's light, you see your garments stained with sin, but you also see Christ's blood, which has washed away and cleansed you, making your garments as white as snow. You are not wise enough, strong enough, or smart enough to persevere and wait patiently. No man is. But a burning wick, Christ will not snuff out. But instead, he douses with oil and faith bursts into flame. At Pentecost, you saw those flames of fire resting on the disciples' heads, and through holy baptism, the same fire now rests on you. You are filled with the fire of faith. You are filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of fire, the Spirit of grace, as David sang, "You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning bright." He keeps Christ, the light of the world, burning bright in your heart. The oil is the Spirit and the forgiveness and all the blessings that the Spirit brings. The light is Christ, who is your light in this darkened world. And the lamp is your faith, which cradles all such things, holding on to the blessings of God. And so here in this divine service is oil for your lamps. Here is food for your soul. Here is strength for the watch. Your bridegroom has not left you. He comes with forgiveness, for here is Christ found in word and sacrament to prepare your hearts and minds for his return. He doesn't simply leave you on your own to make you figure out how to prepare, nor does he give you words of encouragement, but he himself makes you his dwelling place, so that your faith, your heart, may always be burning brightly. And so you wait for his visible return by resting in his light. Watch and pray. The spirit is willing, but the body is still weak. The body is still weak. So let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the bridegroom approaching. Gather together to hear the scriptures, gather to break bread. For by these means of grace, the Spirit pours on you the oil of forgiveness, and the fire of faith only intensifies. Gather together to pray for one another. Pray for all believers throughout the world, to pray for even the unbelievers, that they too may have Christ burning in their heart, and so they too may be saved on the day when he comes. Gather as one holy church, called out of the world and to his glorious light. Encourage, support, and help one another in their sicknesses and their health. Rejoice with them and share each other's burdens. You are not going at it alone, but you gather as the church of God to support and help one another through this life. So stay alert, be vigilant. Let nothing move you. Christ is closer than you think. He's right around the corner. Hang in there. He comes for you. He comes to take you into his wedding feast. The angels are poised. The trumpets are ready. Stand up. Trim your lamps. Your bridegroom is near. Rejoice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.